شي من شوال 1437 هجري الموافق 3 من أغسطس 2016 ميلادي. محرين Publications pleased to announce a question and answer session with Sheikh Hassan Abdulhab al-Banna, and that is on the 29th of Shawwal 1437 Hijri, corresponding to the 3rd of August 2016 Gregorian. Sheikh Nasal يقول, according to the Sunnah, is it the man who determines the mahr or the woman? يسألون يا شيخ الإخوة, هل من السنة تحديد المهر عن طريق الرجل أم المرأة؟
لا, أهل المرأة يطلبون يعني القاعدة العامة مهر المثل, يعني المثل يعني في مستواها يعني مثلا غنية غير الوسط غير الفقيرة, ولهم أن يطلبوا يعني لا تطلب يعني أهلها يطلب مهر مثلا كذا لهم ذلك, ولكن مغلاة بالمهور المهور غير محمودة.
خير إن شاء الله. طيب الشيخ حفظ الله answered that question. He said the family of the woman have the right to ask for the mahr. That's the family of the woman have the right to ask for the mahr. But keep in mind is a rule regarding that is called al-mahr al-mithl, or mahr is according to the level of the family, meaning that you cannot ask for any more than what you can bear. Meaning, again, in other words, mahr amongst rich families is different from mahr amongst families middle class per se is different from mahr amongst poor families. And it's for them to ask for whatever mahr they want, the Sheikh said, but going to extreme or going to excessive limits regarding how much they want for mahr for their family is not praiseworthy. طيب شيخ نسال يقول بلغة إنجليزية, some people join a group of about 12 people, for example, and each person give £500 every month. Every month a name is picked and that person gets all the money. So in this case, it is 6,000 at the end of the 12. Each month, a different person receives the money, and you cannot stop giving money until everyone in the group has received money. Is this allowed in Islam? Sheikh, the question is related to what we call jam'iyat in Egypt. Jam'iyat? We make a jam'iyat, for example. They say we have 12 people. They agreed that every one of them pays 500 guineas sterling per month, for example. وكل شهر واحد يستلم الفلوس دي كلها اللي هيبقى 6000 مرة واحدة. كل شهر يحدد مين هيستلم, وما في حد مسموح له انه ما يدفع لغاية لما كل يستلم فلوسه تاني. فهل هذا يجوز في الاسلام يا شيخنا؟
يعني اذا يدفع كل شهر لحد ما يخلصه كل واحد ياخذ فلوسه حسب الترتيب اللي هم يوقعوا عليه.
أيوة يا شيخ, هذا هو.
ما في شيء إن شاء الله. الدخارية نمعية الدخارية
تبارك الله. طب شيخنا في سؤال خاص بالموضوع ده كمان, يعني مثلا أسمع والله أعلم لما كلمت بعض الإخوة من المغرب العربي, الإخوة من الصومال, قالوا في الصومال الشيء هذا ما يفعله غير النساء عندنا.
ما يفعله ايه؟
ما يفعله غير النساء, يعني
الأخوات ما بيش. ولو عملوا رجال بحرم عليهم؟
هذا السؤال.
لا يعني يعملوا رجال أو نساء, بس النساء عشان هم يعني قاعدين في البيوت وبيلموا يعني قريبات من بعضهم غير الرجال غير مشغول بأعماله, فالنساء لها في البيت مثلا في الغالب أو تكن البيت تبقى فيها أسلوب يعني اجتماع بأخواتها, لكن الرجل ما عنده عمر مش فاضي, فبيكون في الغالب النساء من اللي يجمعها. لما لو جمع الرجال لا يضر شيء, عندنا في رجال وفي نساء, ولكن الغالب النساء فعلا.
In answering that question, the Sheikh Hafidhahu Allah said, so as long as each member of that group is paying And I kind of reminded the Sheikh that he has something to do with what we, call Jamaiyah in Egypt. It's been done for eons in Egypt. He said, as long as each and everyone is paying their share every month until each and everyone get their money back according to the sequence or according to the order they agreed to, that they have agreed to, there's no problem with that. It's called Jamaiyah Iddikhariyah, the Sheikh said. It's called Jamaiyah Iddikhariyah, or a savings Jamaiyah, or a savings group. I said, Ya Sheikh, but amongst some of the cultures, like amongst the Somalis, for example, when I was talking to the brothers, they said only women do that amongst us. He said, and even if the men does it, is not haram upon them. Yes, we understand women do that because most women are at home, or women are supposed to be at home. They're close to one another. They're always talking to one another and so on. And men are busy with their jobs and businesses and so on. But, and also we understand women have a way of gathering their sisters together and socializing and so on. But even if the men gather upon such, as we call it, Jamaiyah Iddikhariyah, or savings account, or savings, corporate, or whatever you want to call it, there's no problem with it. Wallahu ta'ala alam, but it's commonly more known amongst women. Sheikh Nassal quoted, there a narration that it states all prophets first receive revelation at the age of 40. And if this is authentic, does it apply to Isa ibn Maryam? هل يا شيخ يوجد رواية أو دليل أن كل الأنبياء أصبحوا يعني أو استلموا الوحي في سن الأربعين؟ وإذا كان هذا صحيح يا شيخنا هل هذا ينطبق على عيسى بن مريم عليه الصلاة والسلام؟
لا ما لا هذا عاوز بقى دي يعني بحث عاوز بحث وعلم إنما الله سبحانه وتعالى يفعل ما يشاء كما يشاء فصح أن يكون عيسى بخالف هذه القاعدة يعني الوحي لي كان أقل من 40 فهل هذا يعني نقدر نقول فيه أي كلام يعني لا ما لاش نتكلم أي كلام لأن ده يعني إذن الرب سبحانه لو خلقه والأمر طيب يطلع شامل الشهادة الأول
In answer to this question, the Sheikh said, this needs research and knowledge, but we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does what He wills whenever He wills. It is correct. Well, we know that it's correct that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam did not receive his revelation at the age of 40. He was against that rule. He was being, yani, below the age of 40. But does this mean that we say whatever we want to say regarding this matter? Of course not. It's not for us to speak into any matters because...
Alaykum
as-salam.
Shabana.
Naam.
حاول على التليفون بقى المحمول عشان هنزل وقتي البيت الثاني.
طب اي رقم يا شيخ المحمول اللي هو 6168 اللي اخره 68؟
ايوه نعم.
حاضر يا شيخنا.
جزاك الله خير، شكرا.
وياك يوسف. You want to ask the Sheikh anything regarding Islam?
كوباية كوباية. نعم. ما اخذ تفضل يا اخي.
طيب. Sheikh Nassal يقول بالإنجليزية, has a person sinned if they allow someone to take a picture of them? فالسال يقول هل على الشخص إثم إذا أخذ صورة لشخص آخر؟
يصور يعني؟
لا هو يصور مصور هنا في الحالة دي
يعني مثلا
شيخنا
بيشتغل مصور؟
لا لا ما يشتغل مصور بتحصل هنا كتير في البلاد هذه تبقى انت بتمر بناس يقول لك لو سمحت ممكن تاخد صوره بينا خلي بس الكاميرا معاك وصورنا
لا لا ما يعملش وياخذ الذنب ليه بقى هو ياخذ الذنب ليه والمصورين عليهم الذنب اكتر اكتر من المصورون لا مصورين
نعم نعم نسال الله العافيه So the Sheikh answering that question after explaining the fact that this happens quite often in these lands, where you'd be passing by somebody and says, can you take a picture of me using my phone, for example? And he said, no, he should not do that, because those who are taking pictures, upon them is more sin than those who are actually being photographed. So the sin is more upon the person taking the photo, not the person that being pictured. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the same attribute as a somebody, or yani they trying to match Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the attribute of taking photos, or yani in the creation, wal'ayadu billah wallah.
عشان كده الشيخ ناصر رحمه الله سمى اسمه عبد المصور ابنه ورحمه الله مات عبد المصور مات في جدة تخرج في الجامعة الإسلامية وكان بيشتغل مع الأخ إبراهيم البنا ومات في جدة الله يغفر له فهو ده سمى عبد المصور ليه عشان يعرف نفسه ويعرف غيره إنه ده اللي ربنا ما بيصور بس حدش يصور غيره
نعم سبحان الله This is why Sheikh Nasruddin Albani, rahimahullah, called his son Abd al-Musawwir, or the slave of the one that creates. Al-Musawwir here refers to also the creator, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Sheikh
Albani...
Is it a picturer or a picturer? No, Sheikh, we're here... We're going to go back to the world, Allah knows.
But the world is not the picture. بصوركم بأحسن صوركم
يا ريت لو تفيدنا في الموضوع ده يا شيخ بارك الله فيك
يعني في ايه
في الفرق بين الخلق والتصوير
هذا
طيب
بيكشرر يبقى خلاص
عليكم السلام الله شيخ عبد الله اديني اليو اس بي كيبل لو سمحت ولا The Sheikh Habdallah mentioned a very important point here because in the translation, my best ability in translating something like taking a picture to creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the Sheikh said, no, taking a picture is different from creating. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the Quran in the ayah, and he, which I probably have to pull the, Talal yabni al-noble Quran, Talal al-ayah wa sawarakum ahsan sawarakum. Ma'araf shtawar alayah. And Sheikh Abdullah mentioned here a very important benefit regarding this matter. If I can get my phone to work, then I can probably put it up properly. The ayah. Okay, my phone is trying to get used to the new charger. Okay. And inshallah, when we get to it, we'll find the correct translation. Wasawarakum means, in other words, if we're speaking in human beings, and he took photos, but here, in the English language, due to the poor eloquence of this language and due to the lack of a better way of translating this on my end, we can say that Allah have created you in the best possible form, or Allah formed you in the best possible appearance, or Allah made you look in the best possible look, and so on. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. So going back to the point where the Shaykh Abdullah mentioned Shaykh Nasruddin Albani, rahimahullah, to teach the people that Allah is al-musawwir, meaning Allah is the one that forms the people, make him in the best appearance, and so on. He called his own son Abd al-Musawwir. He called his own son Abd al-Musawwir, rahimahullah, who also passed in Jeddah. And I guess the Shaykh Hassan knew him because he used to work along with a member of this, the family of al-Banna, with a brother named Ibrahim al-Banna, and he passed away in Jeddah. He graduated also from the Islamic University of Medina. That's the son of Sheikh Nasruddin al-Bani, rahimahullah, both of them, Abd al-Musawwir. So the Sheikh said, al-khalq, creation, on the side of Allah, is different from al-taswir. I would love to get a word that will match that in English. So, and he mentioned the ayah again, وَصَوَّرَكُمْ أَحْسَن صُوَرَكُمْ And he
informed you. عفواً عفواً يا شيخ عفواً طب المصور اللي هو اللي بيصور اسمه ايه في الانجليزي الشخص اللي بيصور
نعم اللي بيصور الفوتوغرافر الراجل بيصور ها فوتوغراف لكن يا شيخنا يعني انا ما سمعتش بصراحه في اللغه الانجليزيه حد بيصور بيقول على الله سبحانه وتعالى نفس الاسم اللي بيقوله على المصور اللي هو البني ادم فمحتاج لا. انا ببحث الان في القران عليها عشان
اشوف ما يمنع اما اقول ما قال براءه العزيز يعني العزيز ده هو ربنا لا الملك براءه العزيز جائز الاسم نفسه بس كيف يختلف
ايوه
انت سميع بصير ولا لا
صحيح
وربنا سميع بصير
نعم
الملك ما هو سميع بصير الملك انه كان سميعا بصيرا فجعلناه سميعا بصيرا فذلك يشترك في الاسم كيف يختلف
ايوه
And here is, here is كل واحد بحسبه يعني عندك دقة بقى في الموازين ما فيش مثلها أبدا كل واحد بحسب الميزان
نعم As the Sheikh of Allah mentioned a beautiful benefit here He said I frankly told the Sheikh يعني I never heard anybody in English calling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as you may call somebody taking photos as a photographer I'm trying to find a correct word in English that's appropriate of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his character as being as being somebody who has been changing the form or making people's forms and so on as a creator subhanahu wa ta'ala something befitting of him in other words so Sheikh Abdullah said between the creation of Allah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it comes to the attributes of Allah There are attributes that may be called the same to the creation of Allah, like Al-Aziz, Imratul Aziz, the woman of Al-Aziz at the time of Fir'aun. And she was called
Imratul Aziz.
But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also Al-Aziz, which we translate sometimes as Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we cannot say that about Fir'aun, for example, or the woman of Fir'aun. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as mentioned in the Quran by himself, he is Sami'un Basir.
وده في الإنجليزي لما هذا أخذ زمانة في الإنجليزي عايزين نقول كلمة إيه زي ما قلت فضلتك الآن خبرك الكيف كيف يعني إيه الكيف
مجهول الكيفية how نعم الكيفية صح يا شيخ نعم the how بيسموها the how
the how is differs the how differs
اللهم بارك
ليس كذلك؟ يعني نفس النيم سيم نيم بس هاو دي فرس
As the Sheikh said, it's the same name, same attribute, but the how is different. Meaning العزيز to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though the same name can be used for a human being, but العزيز means totally different to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The how of العزيز to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is totally different from العزيز to a human being. So is the how to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. نعم.
والقاعدة في كل الصفات. يد وعين differs. The how differs. The hand of Allah. The eye of Allah differs. The hand of the human being. And the eye of the human being.
I don't think I need to add anything.
ليس كمثله شيء وسميع بصير.
صحيح.
والإنسان سميع بصير. هذا.
بارك الله فيك يا شيخ.
لا يحفظك.
As the Sheikh said in English, and you probably يعني already know. نعم يا شيخ. The manner. بارك الله فيك.
عزيز الأخ يوسف.
لك.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. زي الأخ يوسف. أنا أسلم عليك وإن شاء الله أرجع. أريد أن أراك. لم أراك. سلم عليك ولم أراك. أدريت الشيخ أخ شبانة. ولم أراك أنت. سأراك إن شاء الله. وأسعد بك وأسلم عليك أنت وإخوانك
جزاكم الله خير يا شيخنا. So as Brother Yusuf Hafidhullah also added and helped me out with the English, he said, instead of saying the how, you can say the manner. The manner of the attributes, the names and attributes of Allah is different from the manners of the names and attributes of His creation. As the Sheikh himself said, Hafidhullah, nothing is like Him, as mentioned in the ayah that Allah says about Himself, nothing is like Him, and He is Al-Sami' Al-Basir. But also, mankind, for example, is Sami' Basir, is hearing and seeing, but Allah is the all-hearing, all-seeing. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam.
عفوا يا شيخ يا بشر لا عاد بنقول الإخوة الكرام على موضوع مهم يفسر ما قلنا أن مالك رضي الله عفى الله له مالك من مالك يقول الرحمن العرش استوى بيقرأ آية فسأله سائل كيف استوى كيف استوى لو حق يسأل عن معنى الاستواء هذا من حقه والاستواء في اللي قلت في البخاري استوى على وارتفع على وارتفع ولكن ليس له الحق أن يقول كيف استوى فقال مالك غفر الله له الاستواء معلوم والكيف مجهول والسؤال عنه بدعة السؤال عن الكيف بدعة وأخرج هذا الرجل من المسجد أن يفتن الناس
بارك الله بارك الله فيك يا شيخ أترجم
تفضل
As the Sheikh Hafidhullah said, I would love the honorable brothers and sisters listening to remember what Imam Malik, may Allah forgive him, may Allah have mercy on him, have done regarding when he was asked about the question regarding the ayah Ar-Rahman ala al-Arsh istawa, the all-merciful upon his throne have, yani istawa, have risen.
Ala wa-rtafa.
Naam. As the Sheikh said in Bukhari.
Raised up. Raised up.
Naam. As the Sheikh said, raised up, and in other words, risen above. Naam.
على وارتفع.
نعم. So the Sheikh Hafidhullah mentioned how, well, in the story of Imam Malik, a man asked Imam Malik in the masjid, how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rose above his throne? And we all know from the sunnah that you have a right to ask about the meaning of the word. Like, for example, the meaning of rising above. As Bukhari rahimahullah mentioned in his book, Al-istiwa, or rising above, meaning ala wartafa, meaning rose above and be above his creation. But you have no right, as the Sheikh said, you have no right to ask about how. So Imam Malik, rahimahullah, in his famous statement, he said al-istiwa, or rising above, is ma'lum, is known. And kaif, or manner, is majhul, is unknown. And asking about how, or asking about the manner, is a bid'ah, or is an innovation. وصوركم أحسن صوركم مكتوبة هنا إزاي صوركم أحسن صوركم has given you shape and made your shapes good looking نعم شيخنا
نعم
بس نترجم القطعة ديت ونرجع للنقطة بتاعت صوركم أحسن صوركم بارك
الله
So the Sheikh حفظه الله mentioned Imam Malik being asked a question he answered by saying rising above meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his throne is known and how or the manner he rose above his throne is unknown and asking about the manner of how Allah rose above his throne is a bid'ah or innovation and he asked for that man to be removed from the masjid out of fear that he may cause fitna amongst the people going back to the ayah as the Sheikh Hafidhullah mentioned before And this is for you to look up Ayah 64 in the Noble Quran in Surah Al-Ghafir, Surah 4e. That's verse 64. So, وصوركم أحسن فأحسن صوركم. شيخنا الآية بتقول صوركم فأحسن صوركم اللي هي في سورة غافر الآية 64. المترجمينها إزاي في النوبل قرآن اللي هو ترجمة محسن خان رحمه الله. And has given you shape. And made your shapes good looking. has given you shape and made your shapes good looking. هذه الترجمة اللي عندنا في النوب القرآن يا شيخنا اللي هي محسن خير رحمه الله و...
لا
واسمه إيه الثاني كان رحمه الله برضو الهلالي
نشوف يجيب حاجة نفس المعنى بالضبط اللغة العربية لها يعني قوة وبلاغة ما وصلش لها حد من التانيين
سبحان الله
التاني. بس هم بينكروا الحاجات دي عشان يخفضوا بقدرها لغة القرآن في أعلى من اللغة دي كلام لا. الله في أعلى منه في أعلى منه إيه
ما في
أي حاجة أعلى من كلام الله هم يقولوا لأن ليس قلوب بالكلمة يعني كلام ربنا عندهم كبير أول بس خل بالكلمة لا هو الكلمة لا خلق بالكلمة عيسى خلق بالكلمة شو الكلمة هم بيقولوا عيسى الكلمة لا عيسى عيسى خلق بالكلمة كن إن مثل عيسى أن الله كمثل آدم خلقه من تراب ثم قال لكم فيكون هو ذا الكلمة وخلق آدم أكثر إعجازا ما كانش فيه حاجة خالص لكن ذاك اللي أم عيسى عليه السلام
ولكن هم يا شيخ بيقولوا إيه بيقولوا عيسى كلمة الله صح؟
هو الكلمة لا خلق بالكلمة
نعم
بيعظموا كلام الله لكن هم يعني في اللغة العربية ينزلوا تحت عشان يحقروا اللغة ويحقروا أهلها وحسب القوة والضعف هم أقوياء ونحن ضعفاء يبقى على تحت تحت المستوى
Here's another benefit, added benefit, Tabarakallah, the Shaykh Abdullah mentioned. He said, when I mentioned to him the translation of the ayah from Surah Ghafir, verse 64, that's Surah number 40, if you want to follow by numbers, verse 64, regarding how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have given his creation shape and made those shapes good looking. The Shaykh Abdullah said, and that shows you the eloquency of the Arabic language. There's no other language upon the face of this earth can match Arabic in its eloquency. And he asked the question, do you know of any language that have more eloquency, more perfection, subhanAllah, if I want to say that, than the Arabic language? Of course not. This is why the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in Arabic. And is there anything higher than the speech of Allah? Of course not. But unfortunately, I wouldn't say unfortunately, but the disbelievers, those who are not upon Islam, deny the fact that Arabic language is the most eloquent language. For example, as the Sheikh said, when it comes to Isa or Jesus, alayhi salatu wasalam, they say Isa himself is the word of Allah. They, the disbelievers, will say Isa is the word of Allah. But the Muslims would say, according to the Quran, Isa was created by a word from Allah. Isa was created by a word from Allah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the ayah, and the Sheikh reminded me again, mentioned the ayah that the example of Isa or Jesus is like the example of Adam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Isa, or the example of Isa, like the example of Adam. In the end of this ayah, he said, Allah created him and told him, be and it will be. So Allah added the word be and it will be. And that's nothing far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I can get my phone to cooperate.
Kun fayakun.
Naam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, kun fayakun. Allah added and said, be and it will be. As the Shaykh Abdullah mentioned, and you can go back to that ayah, the example of Isa, like the example of Adam. And he said, the creation of Adam, keep in mind, the creation of Adam is more miraculous. Even had the fast charger picked up from my son's place and it didn't work for me. So in continuing the translation regarding what the Sheikh just mentioned, the example of Isa is like the example of Adam. And the end of the ayah, as the Sheikh gives the proof that Isa, according to the belief of the Muslims, was created by a word from Allah. Isa was never the word of Allah, as Christians or the non-Muslims say, but rather Isa was created by a word of Allah, because that ayah concludes by saying,
Then he told him, be and it will be. And again, the creation of Adam was more miraculous than Isa alayhi salam. And we as Muslims, Allah alhamdulillah minna, glorify the speech of Allah. But of course, the kuffar looked down at the speech of Allah, and they were trying to make it lower than whatever they got going for themselves, wal-iyadu billah. So they would be looking as if they are the stronger ones, and we, meaning the Muslims, the people of the Sunnah, are the weak ones, which is not true. Samihna, Shaykh, tfaddal. Shaykh, ma'ana?
عشان مش كل الناس يعرفوا الفهم بتاعك، مش كل العقول زي بعضها. فإذا أنت عندك نية في حاجة، في أنت تشوف إن فيها مثلا شيء ضرر في أمر ما، هو ما قدروش ده بأفكاره هو. مش كل الناس عندهم نفس المشاعر، نفس الفهم. ربنا يعطيك. فده في الساعة دي تقول له بينه وبينه وتفهمه الوضع إيه. إذا كان إنسان جاهل خلاص أعرض عنه، مسر إنك أنت ترد على السؤال وما نفسه رد عليه وخلاص. لما إنسان اللي هو عاقل وفاهم عشان ما يتأثرش منك تقول له بينه وبينك السبب.
تبارك الله. In asking that question, the Sheikh said, if this gonna cause a fitna or bring. Okay, the question in English again, if somebody swears upon you to answer a certain question and you don't want to answer that question for whatever reason that may be, the Shaykh Hafidhahullah answered the question by saying, if answering a question will cause a fitna or bring about trouble, of course not, you're not supposed to answer, even if he swore upon you to answer. But you can choose later on to be alone with that person, with that individual, and make him understand the reason why you didn't answer at the time, for example. Because all of the people are not upon the same page. All of the people are not or don't have the same understanding. And not all of the mind are like each other. All of the minds or the brains or the intellect of the people is not the same. So you, for example, see in mentioning something at that time will bring around harm or bring about يعني, an evil al-'adhu billah, but the person in front of you does not understand that, so do not answer it. And again, not all the people have the same understanding. And if that person was ignorant, for example, you seem to be an ignorant person, just turn away from him. Don't answer him then. But if that person was a reasonable person that you see he may understand you, you just don't want to answer him then, you can tell him so afterwards alone between you and him. نعم. What was the next question? I'm sorry, Yusuf. سامحنا يا شيخ أنا تليفوني قطع شحن فمش عارف حتى أشوف الأسئلة الآن الله المستعان. الأخ يوسف بعيد على الأسئلة الأول. Yeah. خلي we'll make that the last question. سبحان الله. شيخنا سالي يقول باللغة العربية هل نحن نعلم ولله الحمد منا أن الدعاء الوالد المسلم أو دعاء الأبوين المسلمين لأبنائهم أو لأولادهم يعني ولله الحمد منا مبلغ ويعني الله سبحانه وتعالى يستجيب له، فهل دعاء الأبوين الغير مسلمين لأولادهم مستجاب من عند الله؟ لأولاد المسلمين
حسب قدرهم حسب يعني؟ القدر لهم يعني حاجات ربنا قدرها كل إنسان عمله ووظيفته وأخلاقه وخبرك وما يشمل حياته الدنيا كلها مكتوبة قبل أن يخلق فحسب ما ربنا قدر لأن ربنا لا يقبل من دعاء من المشركين عملهم حب دعائهم لا يقبل بس هو ما يقول ابن يبقى سعيد يبقى غني سعيد يبقى غني ساعات ياخذ وظيفه كبيره او بيدعوا عشان ياخذها. كله حسب القدر بتاع ربنا سبحانه وتعالى.
يعني معنا صح يا شيخنا، اذا كان الوالد، اذا كان والد المسلم هذا كافر او والدته كافره، فدعاهم غير مستجاب.
الله لا يقبل منهم ربنا دعاء لما تقبلهم المتقين، لكن هو بيدعو ساعات القدر يكون موافق لكلامه اللي عاوز، فيقول ربنا استجاب دعائي. ولا قيمة له عند الله، ولا يقبل ولا يرفع عمله ولا يرفع دعاءه إلا أصحاب الكلام الطيب والعمل الصالح يرفع. قياس هنا ما فيش قياس.
نعم.
ما مدعو الكافرين إلا في ضلال في الآية.
نسأل الله السلامة
والعافية. دعا الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم، دعا الرسول
اللهم
صلى
الله عليه وسلم. So answering the question as a Sheikh Abdullah, regarding that question, we know that the dua of the Muslim parents is accepted regarding their children. So how about the dua of the non-Muslim parents? Is it accepted regarding their children? Sheikh said, it's all according to what Allah destines in the first place. In other words, it's according to what Allah have decreed, because there are things that Allah already have decreed for an individual regarding what kind of job, his manners. All of this has been written for the person before he was created. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know, does not accept the dua or the supplication from somebody upon shirk or polytheism because of their actions upon shirk. But if the child turned out to be happy or rich, sometimes his richness or that big job that he landed was actually destined for him, and it just happened and agreed at the time with what the parent, Muslim or non-Muslim, wishes for. So I asked the Sheikh, in other words, are we saying that the parents, if they're not Muslim, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept their supplication? He said, yes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only accept the dua from al-muttaqeen, from those upon taqwa. But sometimes the dua or the supplication of those who are not upon taqwa, including those who are not Muslim, will agree with what Allah have decreed for that individual. But again, their dua, meaning those who are not upon taqwa, have no value to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no price in the first place for it, if you want to call it that. As he mentioned from the ayah, verily good speech and righteous action lead to the acceptance of dua. Verily, al-kalim al-tayyib, good speech and righteous action leads to the acceptance of dua, meaning for those who are upon the pleasure of Allah. In other words, there's no analogy here. We cannot compare between Muslim parents and non-Muslim parents regarding supplications. Because as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about them, verily, al-kafirin, except they are upon misguidance. Verily, al-kafirin, or the disbelievers, except they are upon misguidance. And it's known, as the Sheikh mentioned from the seerah of the history of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the kafirin, the disbelievers of his time, made supplications to Allah upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or against the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and of course it was not answered. Naam Sheikh. طيب شيخنا السؤال الاخير باذن الله عشان ما نطولش عليك اكثر من كده. شيخ حسن. I think we lost the Sheikh again. Yeah, inshallah khair. So he can. Yeah, give me the last one. If the Sheikh agreed, then we do the last one, inshallah. What do you got? Go ahead. Barakallahu feek, makes it easier for both of us.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam wa barakatuh. طيب شيخنا السؤال الأخير بإذن الله.
نعم.
طيب يوسف go ahead.
السلام
نعم السؤال يقول يا شيخنا إذا كان شخص كافر غير مسلم
نعم.
يسألك بعض النصيحة بخصوص أعمالهم بخصوص يعني تجارتهم لكن تجارتهم هذه مثلا تبيح بيع ملابس التي ممكن أن الناس النساء يلبسونها خارج البيوت
يعني
يلبسوها غير خارج البيوت ملابس غير يعني مباحة إسلاميا فهل يجوز أن نعطيهم نصيحة ولا يكون علينا شيء من الإثم في إعطاء نصيحة لغير المسلم في الحالة هذه؟
لا مديه نصيحة بس لأنه كافر بس أقوله في الحاجات دي عندنا بالإسلام ليس ده الإسلام لا يجوز يعني بعد ما أقوله وأنصحك كذا كذا إنسان خبير في التجارة مثلا خبير في تصريف البضاعة مثلا خد بالك مش قابل حاجة زي كده ولا إيه؟
أيوه هو هذا
خبير مثلا اقتصادي خبير تجاري فيقول له نصيحة ويقول لك عندنا إسلام أنا ما لو أنا مثلا أنا مسلم ما أقدرش بحاجات زي دي لأن الإسلام ده لسبب أديني سبب كمان يبقى عشان يعرف واقعة الإسلام وعظمة الإسلام فهذا التعاون معه في الدنيا مش معنى ولكن لا يكون على حساب الدين كان نصيحة دي كان نصيحة عامة في التجارة كلها يعني مش كده برضو خاصة بالحاجات دي وغيرها
نعم
ولكن يعني بقى في الإسلام ما كنت أخذ الإنسان من مليون مثلا امرأة أو واحد رجل يمشي بسكة بمليون مثلا الشارع يعني حاجة زي كده أو امرأة تلبس مليون في محطة البنزين هل المرأة في الإسلام تعمل كده؟ لا إنما بصحة عامة في التجارة أو اقتصاد ممكن والله واحد بقول يا ما خلص بقى أقول عشان أكلمك كلمة بس
خلاص بإذن الله تعالى So I answer this question.
I'm
So in answering that question, the Sheikh said, given the disbeliever or the non-Muslim a general advice based upon the fact he is a disbeliever regarding business and otherwise is permissible in Islam. But also in the same token, you have to teach him that these things are not permissible in Islam and give him the reasons why. He said, for example, you as a Muslim turn out to be an expert in commerce or in how to deal or how to move products or in economics and so on. Then your advice based upon that must be general given to the person in front of you. But in the same token, you say, as for me as a Muslim, we cannot do this in Islam because Islam does not allow it for the following reasons. So the person that you're dealing with, the disbeliever, non-believer that you're dealing with, would know the beauty and the glory of Islam and how Islam, subhanahu wa ta'ala, Islam, by the permission of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, promotes goodness and forbids evil. Cooperating in the dunya, cooperating in this life with the disbelievers in general is no problem with that, but it cannot be done at the account of the religion of Allah. For example, the Sheikh said, you are dealing with a man who is wearing swimming trunks, or a woman running a gas station dressed up in swimming trunks, swimming, whatever it's called, a swimming outfit. In Islam, of course, it's not permissible. But they're asking you for a general advice regarding their business. You give him the advice related to the business or the iqtisad, but yet also you advise them regarding what they're doing that is prohibited in Islam and why is it prohibited. Allah Ta'ala A'lam. And that would be the last question. Yusuf, the Sheikh wants us to talk to him after we hang up.
Hello, Sheikh. Can I finish?
Yes,